FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus star? Ratchet, did you take the chorus star? Transformers, defenders of
truth, robots who fight in disguise. All right, supposedly we're live. Hello, everybody. It's TFYLP, episode 184. I had to find it on the screen because I forgot. We've been on holiday break. We returned last week, but we had some guests. This is the first all just TFYLP cast show of 2016. We're coming back. Mixed topics. We're going to just have some fun tonight. Talk some Transformers. We're going to kill a little bit of time here first because Hangouts has been acting funny. So I'm going to go ahead and ask my guests, the fellow cast members of TFYLP, how was you guys' holidays?
Good. Got ourselves for the next couple weeks.
I love the dead silence when you said that. Just a hush over the crowd.
Just like, I had to see family. That sucked. So did you guys get anything good for the holidays? I guess I should introduce everyone. We got Brycey. He's been gone for a little while. He's back today. A
few months.
Yeah, we got Brett.
What's up?
And we have Jason, the Plasticon. He returns. And yes. We apparently also have Daniel, who just jumped right in while we were introducing people. Talk about perfect timing.
Canadians are invading.
Perfect timing.
Let me just set up everything. I just got in.
All right. So, you guys get anything interesting over the holidays? I know one of us got something pretty interesting at the very least.
Yeah, I'd say I kind of did. My boss surprised me, and some of you guys probably saw my haul video if you hadn't. I got a 1978 Millennium Falcon that I'm going to have to restore now. It's in really good condition. It's just missing a few bits. And stickers need to be replaced. It has some slight yellowing, but Falcon doesn't at this point. So
unless you right now, I'm just like enthralled with Daniel's breathing.
I know, right?
What? Sorry?
It's your breathing. You can hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm waiting for him to all of a sudden just
I
iron your
back
father.
I'm sorry. I'm in like a rush. Is that better now?
Yeah. I saw your movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
We know you're talking about Star Wars stuff and instead of breathing, so you know, I guess that's good. Yeah.
There you go.
And what was the Millennium Falcon you found?
Oh. Well, I did get that. My boss did purchase one of the newer clone troopers with an AT-AT walker or ATST kind kind of thing. I have yet to open it up. I'm going to do probably.
I'm still trying to figure out where, you know, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure gives a rat's butt about Star Wars.
I mean, I think everyone who's listening to this probably cares a whole lot about Star Wars. But
baloney.
I was joking with Jason here at the beginning of the cast that we should just totally abandon the whole Transformers topic tonight and just talk Star Wars The Force Awakens.
No.
And let the rants begin.
I'm not even going to go into it.
You get anything Transformers related?
Oh, yeah. I did. I got me one of them.
Nice.
It's very nice. I really like it. And I got me.
Now that's a.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Visually impaired.
That's a really sun-bleached Sunstreaker, right?
That's right. It is a white Lambo Sunstreaker, Diaclone with the driver. Missing one little missile. I gotta find. So I gotta find that. And then the Diaclone Liger, the Mirage.
Now, see, that one looks a lot more like just straight-up Mirage.
It is.
A lot of differences between the two of them?
Stampings, that's it. And then there's a rare variation, I guess you call it variation, where they actually had Liger written on the side, this word, up here. But, of course, I don't have that one because I haven't seen one in 6 or 7 years. So they very rarely come up. But I picked those up. Then I, of course, got some knockoff goodies that we'll talk about later.
Nice.
I love them.
Yes.
You get anything decent over the holidays, Daniel?
Transformer related, not really. A lot of, I don't know why, like I found over this holiday season I was on a very big video game kick because I took a trip over the weekend to the States. We went, like me and the girlfriend, we went to New York City to do the whole holiday season into the big, you know, dropping of the ball thing. As a Canadian, that's a big deal, you know, so to
I
go
forgot
do that.
They even
so,
still do that.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it was
my question is, like, you put gravy over it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious. So you put gravy over everything up there.
Yeah. With cheese curds. No, like it was a big deal because I wanted to check out the Nintendo store and also because the Toys R Us at Times Square was closing, like for the last time. So I wanted to be there for like the final days and everything because that was a pretty hype, awesome place. But a lot of the stuff that I bought was, I mean, I went to the Nintendo store and went crazy because that was, you know, that was a lot of my big spending that whole time. And I don't really, I don't want to say I don't do the Christmas thing, but it's just like, it's so many times I just turn to friends and family and just go, don't buy me anything. Like every day is Christmas already. You know, there's always a package in the mail. You know, that's it's to buy me something is a waste of money.
Real quick, only because you said that, one of the things that we like to do is give people points, tips, and this, that, and the other, and we're not going to go on to the relationship side and say that for those that have a significant other, when they say, oh, don't get me something, don't worry about that, don't do this, don't fall into that trap, buy them something anyway.
All right. Oh no!
Buy them something anyway. It's a significant other, you need.
But I don't expect anything back, in all honesty, because it's, I don't expect anyone, even friends that are like male, I don't expect them to have to go through that headache to go into like the Toys R Us aisle and go, oh Jesus crap, what the hell doesn't he have? You know, like it's a crapshoot. So it's just better for them. Just look, bro, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? I won't feel any ill will if you didn't spend $14.99 on me on a deluxe, you know, drift. It's not going to kill me, you know, so.
You know, I fell into that this year myself. I kept joking. This was the first Christmas where I had an adult Christmas. And it was because, you know, people were like, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? Like, well, I bought myself everything I wanted.
Exactly.
To I can use some pants. I can use some clothing. Yeah, exactly. Buy me some clothing.
Totally. No, but that's what I mean. It's you reach that point where it's just like everything you ever need, you just kind of wake up and get anyways, especially when we live in such an instant satisfaction society of just going on to Amazon and clicking. So you really – there's, you know, at that point, yeah, maybe a sweater is a better gift than anything now at this point.
Oh, yeah, and I live in Orlando, so I get I can get same-day shipping now.
There you go. But, yeah, I didn't get anything. Sorry, guys, kind of boring, but yeah.
What about you, Bryce?
Not really.
Not really.
Everyone's the same.
Not really. Yeah. We had this discussion already beforehand, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to run with it anyways. I did get one thing that was unexpected, and a friend sent me this.
MP tracks.
Yeah. Because I love the tracks. I love tracks before I ever saw G1, just based on his vehicle mode. Love that Corvette. Old Corvette.
67 Corvette, man.
Yeah, so I friend knew that I liked that car, and so he sent me. This is the first Autobot car I've had because I don't really collect the Masterpiece figures. And I'm told he's the weakest of them, but I wouldn't know.
Bliss through ignorance. It's still good. It's still good. I understand what people are complaining about, but in all honesty, I think also because Trax is one of those guys that he had a pretty solid Alternators toy that was a Corvette. He had a pretty solid, you know, Classics toy that more or less was a Corvette. So I guess people – what did people expect at this point from, you know, this one? That it's the same thing like if whoever had a Masterpiece Hound, you know, like he had a very solid – Alternator toy, yet a very solid Classics toy. What do you? What? How many times do you reinvent the wheel at this point to make something that great?
I don't know. The Make Toys one's pretty good.
Well, is it
a Masterpiece third party out there? So
yeah, I don't really mess with those too much, but I'm pretty. They do look good though. MP Tracks looked good too, so you know. I'm more worried about the Rodimus that's coming out. That's going to be like that.
I just keep thinking about you know, the third party and the what I consider to be Masterpiece, like the Leo Kaiser that they got coming.
That Hellbat,
the Dino King, and I mean, do you really, really think we're going to see those from Hasbro? Do you really think that the Clone is going to do those? No.
Look how Hasbro is handling Leo Kaiser right now. You know, there you go. That right away is presented to you. You know, so we know relatively through guessing and hearsay, you know.
Didn't we kind of, you know, predict that kind of way in the future?
Oh, God, we predicted that the day that Skylynx was debuted. Everyone saw that head and it was like they knew right away where that was going.
Yeah.
BotCon 2015.
Well, so hopefully if we lose any part of this podcast, we lost that first part because it was wholly uninteresting. Our miserable Christmas times. So we're gonna move right into the topics for tonight. We got some news that has come up over the break since we've been gone for a few weeks, and so we're gonna dive right in. The first big piece, I guess we can say the biggest piece that just came out today is they revealed the combined form for Predacus for BotCon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you all seen this?
I'm getting it up here. Hang on there.
Yes, I have.
I can't talk about it.
About 16, isn't it?
Is that a
why do you have to talk about BotCon stuff?
Trust me, this will be very, very short and sweet.
Yeah.
So I have it screen shared here.
I was going with a blown up one. That'll work.
For everyone who, so we all knew this was coming. The combined head, of course, was that fabled
Tri-Predacus.
What they said, five new head molds, and because the one jet had the same head. So Tri-Predacus, Predacus has a Tri-Predacus themed head here. They finally revealed it. We can see, and we're seeing it combined, and you know all the possible hesitations I had with the with Tarantulas and with Ravage working with all that red. It's kind of been satiated here for me at the very least. I don't think they stand out too much.
Here's one thing I was going to say about that, because everyone said that the legs were a different color and that the whole top portion was all one color. But if you remember, the Japanese version was just the opposite.
Yep.
Everything below it was red, and then the black and this and that and the other. So if you look at it in that way, I actually think they're homaging it pretty well. You know.
And what's to say that you can't do that already by just whipping the arms and legs?
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
very, very observant of you, Megamus.
I know that was kind of intended,
but yeah.
I know it was intended. I know
it's probably just the people who took the photos were kind of idiots, but I don't want to comment on that.
I probably know almost as much as you, but that's okay. Anyway, I love it. When it first came out and you see the picture of it, I immediately tagged it. I said, this is probably going to be the only box set that I keep. I have not kept any. I've kept one figure from each set as a souvenir. But I like this combined form so much that I think I'm going to keep it. I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm digging that head sculpt. The snarl is amazing. He's definitely going to be a nice, you know, centerpiece to my BotCon Beast Wars shelves, because it's going to have to graduate to two shelves, because my BotCon Beast Wars shelf right now is just jam packed. But I'm looking forward to these. And announced today, BotCon registration goes up next week.
Yeah.
So if you like what you see here, watch out for that, because next week is the week to register, and hopefully it's not a bit, you know, just a giant cluster.
It won't be. New company.
That's good.
So.
It's not
the same company.
Looking forward to that.
It's, you know what, and if I could just make little comments on it, is what's cool about it is I find that if you look in the past in terms of what was successful of BotCon stuff, and what, you know, you look at fun publications, you know, you look at everything that, yeah, exactly. You look at everything that exists as a whole from 2005 till now, and what really, if you look at all the sets that have come before this one that was really popular and that you really dig, and, you know, a lot of people like 2007 with the classics kind of, you know, let's finish our Seeker Jets. But, you know, in the end, everyone really likes that Beast Wars set. And this, I'm kind of happy that in a lot of ways that for Beast Wars' anniversary, that they're really going head on into this, you know, that they're really doing something that's a nod, you know. And people were complaining about the red, but I think the red is perfect if you're, you know, you want show accurate, you know. That's what I've always said is, you know, if you want toy accurate, we have some really good toy accurate toys. They're called the original Tri-Predicus toys, you know. They got those awesome greens and purples and browns already. Where this, I mean, the way that I feel I'm going to be displaying it is I'm going to actually try to hope that someone makes a third-party center table that I could gather them around and put a little LED light above them. I don't, like, I'm already trying to play out in my head how I want to do this, because they look great. They really do. Yeah. The samples don't do them justice, because these are all Photoshop samples that you guys are seeing with digital heads on them.
Yeah.
It looks great, especially the Tri-Predicus head. That they were able to get that clown face kind of original paint scheme that the kabuki kind of look that it originally possessed. I really like that it kept that, and to have the single horn too.
It definitely looks great. It just screams Tri-Predicus, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
Because I love that. No matter how crazy the head is, I absolutely love Tri-Predicus. I have two of them. And when I got the second set, I'm like, from a lot buy, I'm like, I can't sell these because Tri-Predicus is just so cool.
He's always been really awesome. And don't let that image that we have right now of the combined form fool you, in the sense that, you know, it's very red in the top. Keep in mind that could be broken up by mixing and matching parts. And Megamus kind of pushed it in the direction that it's kind of intended. So, you know.
Well, I at least like what they've done. Like, if the chest – actually comes out looking like that, the chest really breaks up the red.
No, but it's more the arms. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's because I think, like, the biggest common complaint that I'm seeing is that people are like, oh, it's too much red. It's too much red on the top. But keep in mind, you know, you could swap combiner limbs, and there's a more intended display for them, so to speak.
And see, and this was the first time I've actually seen this. I mean, I wasn't entirely sold on the red. I like that, you know, it's show accurate. I would love to see these in toy colors. I would have both sets if I could. but this is the first time that really convinced me that the red is fine. And it was always just a hesitation of, is it going to work well with, you know, with Ravage and Tarantulas?
And that was always kind of a.
And issue. I think it looks fine.
Yeah.
And so everything's been.
When you see it in person, it'll make a lot more sense. There's I find it in the past with a lot of Bakon toys. Sometimes, you know, the revealed images are CG mock-ups, and then when you get the actual product in your hand, it looks better or worse. In this case, it looks a lot better. It really does. I mean, we're not going to have a Metal Hawk situation. You know? That was a different, you know, case, but an unfortunate one. But looks really good.
I see, Mike, I thought you would like this one the best. Because out of all of them, to me, that one just, I just love it.
The colors, yeah, I definitely do.
And that's the Tarantulas. And it just, I mean, the colors are, even in a robot mode or in a vehicle mode, you look at that and you go, those are the colors of Transmetal Tarantulas. That's him.
Yep. Well, and that was also because if you look at the recent subscription service, we kind of had a Tarantulas that just passed, right. And it was a motorcycle and stuff, but the colors were more original non-Transmetal Tarantulas. So you have your pre-Beast Wars non-Transmetal Tarantulas, and now you have this one. But to a lot of people, I find that when you think of Tarantulas, you think of Season 2. You think of that iconic Transmetal form and all the crazy stuff he did in it. So that's how I always envision the character.
Yeah, that was his – you know, just – he was pure awesome at that point.
Oh, he was. Alex Willow, amazing voice actor, did an amazing job.
Well, and on the subject of voice actors, so we had one have to cancel.
Right.
That was the
voice. Exit one spider, enter another.
Yeah, the voice of Tarantulas. But in comes Venus Turzo, which is Black Arachnia's voice actor.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she's awesome. She is – first of all, I don't want to sound biased. She's a Montreal local. but she's awesome. She's done shows for TFCon in the past, two of them, and she's super open and friendly. Anyone that has to share a panel with Dick Gauthier, who's a lot more blue and vulgar, she's a very lovable person. She's pretty cool.
So, yeah, that's that'd be cool. I mean, it's perfect timing, too, because everyone can get a hold of a nice – or a fairly decent-looking Black Arachnia figure right now to get autographed. I'm sure you'll find plenty of them at BotCon's show floor.
And the guy who drew it, the side of the box, is going to be there too, Sakamoto-san. So
nice. But so that's most of the BotCon reveals. Well, I guess that's all the BotCon stuff for right now. Which we'll move on to Takara. Because Takara has declared this the Year of the Beast, which I find amazing. Because Hasbro has declared this the Year of the Titans, which is a shame for the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars. But we've actually gotten a silhouette of MP Primal. And I'm guessing that they plan on a reveal here soon. And let me pull this up. Ah, shoot. So we get to see some of the lines to this thing.
To a degree. Yeah.
Mostly
as best as a silhouette could give us.
Yeah. Well, the silhouette. It's more about the silhouette for the beast mode there.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking about that?
Oh, I love it. Love it.
I'm curious to see. Again, it just like I was saying before with Trax, it's one of those characters that had so many already really good representations of the character. Like, I mean, the peak of it being probably the Beast Wars Returns 2-pack And on the flip side of that, a Robot Masters, you know, retool. I mean, there's been such good attempts at making a show accurate version of this character. Let's see what they're going to do this time around to really wow us and, you know, put that MP price point attached to it.
I agree with you 100%. I think that it, because we all voted. It was a while ago on what we thought was our favorite Transformer. And believe it or not, I had picked Optimus Primal, the 8, that's not deluxe, that would be an
Ultra. Ultra scale.
Ultra scale. And I said, because you get so much play value for your buck back then. I mean, had all the missiles, the
mace.
Skull mace, I mean, all that stuff. So then they did it in the anniversary pack, and all they did was change it up a little bit with the coloring, the different face, and I'm telling you, thumbs up, looked great. So yeah, give me more. I want to see a superposable masterpiece scale ape. That's what I want to see.
I'm really curious what they're going to do to make this, like, you know, that Ultra figure. In a lot of ways, I almost feel like what could you do to make it even more perfect? Like, I mean, if I had to like be super critical, it's like, well, the Ultra figure didn't have the perfect, like, you know, wrist cannon, you know, thing that he had. So
I'll be honest with you. If you were to mingle or merge the Robot Master with it, because it had the pop-up cannons.
Yeah.
It had the jet pack. So the best of both worlds.
They're going to make that perfect version, and then everyone's going to have to sell their returns 2-pack.
No. You hope they do. also being Hasbro Takara, this is a perfect opportunity to screw it up. So
what's the return to? What's the returns 2-pack? You mean that's the one with the molded head?
Yeah, it was originally it first came out as Beast Wars Returns, which was a 2-pack with Megatron, and then it was released under the 10th anniversary line as a 2-pack in Toys R Us.
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were talking about. So see, to me,
the little cat right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I call it the Returns one because that's what it was originally when it was first released. It's exactly the same in both releases.
Yeah, different
show accurate face.
The recent Unite one has no difference between that, right?
Just the rat trap that comes with it. That's the one that has all the big repainting and tooling on it. I think the weapons were painted, if I remember correctly. There was something that was mildly done on it.
Well, because I got the Unite one.
See, I'm looking at the Robot Masters one.
I'm trying to. I was just wondering if there's a difference between the Unite.
No, but I think you gotta. I mean, like I said, this was one of the best figures back in '95, and then when they redid it. I want to see this. I want to see the Robot Master one.
So, does your Unite one have red eyes?
I don't think so.
Because that's the only two big, you know, that's the two big selling points is giving two perfect faces.
Oh, well, the Unite is the.
Oh, they use the that one.
Yeah.
They put Rat Trap with that one. That's right. Okay, it's exactly the same.
Now, is that one the same as? How is that different from this one?
This is the Ultra. That's what I'm curious about is what's the difference between the Unite one and the one
looks
that was
exactly
released
the same.
Previously?
Yeah.
It looks exactly the same.
I'm figuring it's probably this. It probably is.
The age face. What's it look like? Flip it over.
Nope. Here, I'll just pop it off the chest. It's easier that way.
That's the chest. Show it up there.
So it looks like
the same.
Yeah, so it's basically just a reissue.
No, unless it's just a coloring. His has got a more of a outline.
Black nostrils.
His face is a little darker.
Yeah, it's darker and it's got that gray around it with the nostrils. This one has no painted nostrils and it's more silver.
Yeah.
Either way, it's all going to be moot when we get the masterpiece one, I hope.
I don't know about moot. I can own a
Optimus
Optimus Primal.
Oh, yeah, like I'm going to get rid of anything.
Yeah, exactly. I can get rid of it.
So, you know, we were talking about how do you make the – since he's already had such great figures, how do you make the perfect Primal?
I got it right here. That's what you do right there.
Put hair on it.
Well, so
– give him fur. He's got to have fur.
what I was going to say is the perfect primal to me.
Felt.
What was the name of that SDCC rock band set? Was it the Knights of Unicron or something?
Knights of Unicron.
Yeah.
Yeah, they missed the chance with making the hair metal band a bunch of beasts.
Yeah, I think that would have made more sense.
But to me, what would make the perfect primal is not his robot mode, the feature of his robot mode. It's going to be the features of his beast mode. And it's going to be making that beast mode emote or be able to emote like in the cartoon.
It's a possibility. Like, you know, you could see there's room to put some engineering in that chest there, because we know for a fact, I mean, just even looking at the silhouettes, that transformation, we already know how that's going to go down. Like, there's going to be very little that's going to be surprising in terms of the configuration from one mode to the other. So it's more a matter of, you kind of look at G1 Grimlock, the original toy, and then you look at the masterpiece, and yeah, there wasn't much done there that changed from the original toy, but so instead, because there wasn't a big engineering leap, they were like, well, we're going to do interchangeable eyes, we're going to do, you know, a tail thing, we're going to do all kinds of little built-in gimmicks. So who knows, maybe there'll be moving eyes, you know, done Hot Toys style or something, or maybe, you never know, there could be something, a little switch in the back, or they'll do, I don't know, maybe they'll go the extra mile and throw in a mutant head that doesn't look like a woman with lipstick, you know?
I mean,
I think it'd be kind of interesting if they engineered it so it had, like, magnets and had, like, interchangeable, like, face, so that we have different facial expressions.
That would be great, too.
On them. That'd be kind of neat.
Sweet.
Well, and considering, like, and I agree with what Sideburn's saying, considering how much Beast Wars was... Their facial expressions were such a key thing with mainframe CG that you could watch it on mute, and you know the characters really emoted very well because of design and the way the faces were done. It would be something that'd be very interesting to have that, which in all honesty, up to this point, Transformers really hasn't had. It hasn't been really like toys that have like, you know, interchangeable expressions outside of like, you know, the non-transforming Revoltech stuff or something. Yeah.
Starscream, Masterpiece, that one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the flipping face, that one, yeah.
Yeah. But usually they're always incorporated and you just get a few static faces. But yeah, that would be
a sneer.
That would be great. I would say at the very least, an articulated head on his gorilla form, and you've got a better beast mode.
Oh, yeah.
Like a switchy head. Hopefully we get that. His mouth move or... makes his eyes move when his mouth though, or something.
Articulated fingers.
Well, again, when you have that masterpiece price point, which up to this point, I mean, I think Bumblebee was the cheapest one. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was Bumblebee. I mean, up to that point, Masterpiece, I think the lowest it's ever been was like a $4,800 price point. If they give it, I mean, I don't know. Has there been solicitations of how much it's going to cost?
I don't think so. And
then that could give us a really good idea of what's going to be put into it.
Well, because the real question is he Autobot car sized or is he like Grimlock Soundwave?
That's why I'm curious about the price point, because that'll really tell us a size. It'll really tell us, if not accessories or what's put into it. Maybe it comes with a golden disc. You never know. It'd be cool.
Yeah,
two little die-cast golden discs. It'd be awesome. Yeah. Instead of those coins they always give us, huh? Think about it.
Yeah, the problem is they'll make the special limited edition coin the golden disc, and then
that's what I was about to say. Maybe the disc is the coin.
Yeah,
well, that's what we're saying. Absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. You never know. I'm just happy that, you know, they decided to use 2016 to celebrate it, because they could have easily, like what they did with Unicron, they could go, okay, we're going to do a 86 movie celebration 30th anniversary. Just, you know, or they could go, I mean, it's technically the 15th anniversary of Robots in Disguise. It's technically, right. There's a lot of different ways they could have went with it, but they went head on Beast Wars, which I think is the smartest move. I think that generation of fans who are even like 9 years old watching it are now in their mid 20s. So everyone is on board for that.
That's me.
Well, there you go.
I'm just kind of curious if this might spike them coming up with like a whole new Beast Wars line.
No, no one was pissed when there was a 10th anniversary line. People welcomed it when they got their first Transmutate toy and DVD pack-ins and little mini Axelons and Dark Side, you know, Everyone loved it. I mean,
yeah, well, I think that's what he means. I think
that's what I'm saying. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to see them like go back and not necessarily take the old molds, but reinvent those old molds with more engineering and better engineering.
It would be a surprise if they planned that for 2016, but I think we would have known about it a lot earlier. Yeah, I mean, we learned about Primal the day of BotCon 2015. There was that big reveal with Ironhide, I remember, the day of BotCon. So
yeah,
that was,
it had that like 3D printed shell that was based.
Yeah,
on
like
this.
Yeah, that weird shell that we were all going like, how does this even transform?
Yeah.
I mean, and so like right away, you know, the writing was on the wall more than a year ago that we knew what was coming. So I'm pretty sure if there was a whole line planned, like we would have like known by now at least something. Either that or BotCon's gonna like come around in April and they'll go, oh, by the way, yeah, end of like September 2016, yeah, whole Beast Wars line. Like, it, I don't know.
Well, yeah, well, definitely not out of.
I'd like to see a masterpiece roller skate T-Rex.
I one definitely day. Don't see it coming out of Hasbro, but it's all up in the air what we might see from Takara. I mean, because up until now, they'd only really shown the masterpiece. You know, we knew they had plans for Masterpiece Optimus Primal, but then they had the whole teaser for Beast Wars 20th, and they had, you know, the QRC's voice actor talking about the Beast Wars 20th anniversary.
Yeah, and Q Transformers, yeah.
And we have no idea, so we don't really know what's coming out. Even if it's just Q Beast Wars,
I dig it.
Perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, I dig it.
I'll buy the whole entire set.
You and me both. No, I'm just happy that any of this is happening. I think, you know, Beast Wars went very dormant at one point, and I mean, especially when Classics rolled around, it was always really G1, 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 and then when you got the one Beast Wars toy, it was always kind of a stinker, unfortunately. I mean, yeah. The Dinobot was, like, good in Henkei, I guess, you know, and the Cheetor was, yeah, you know, so... Yeah. And they didn't really do much with those molds afterwards. You know, they didn't, oh, let's do a Grimlock. Let's do a, I don't know, you do a Cheetor or a Shadow Panther, you know.
You couldn't do anything with that Cheetor. The problem is he looked too much like a cheetah. You couldn't.
Yeah, that's, you know, so that, but it's just, you know, so it was, you know, that was kind of the thing. And then when going into Combiner Wars, it was just like, well, it's more of this. And, you know, now, especially with what's going on with the IDW comics, you know, that's their own IDW. You know, they don't really revisit Beast Wars unless it's like a Rat Trap character that's not Rat Trap that you know. So yeah. It's nice to have something that actually harkens back to that old show, that old fiction, that old continuity, and those old designs.
Yeah, there's a rumor on Facebook yesterday about a bunch of other Beast Wars things coming in for Masterpiece. I'm trying to find it.
For Masterpiece.
Well, there's the rumor, and again, it's only a rumor. It's just everyone like thinking there's going to be a Ravage X9 reissue. But then again, that's just an image that was posted by TF Yuki, and he's in. I mean, in the past, he's taken dynamic shots of old valuable toys, and it never meant anything, you know. So,
yeah.
No, this was saying like Megatron and a couple other ones.
I wouldn't be surprised to see something about a Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron, but. I haven't seen much.
I think that's something we would have known a lot earlier.
Yeah, but it may not be this year, but down the road.
Yeah,
I mean, you got Primal. You got to have. How long did it take from MP1 to what is it? MP5 was Megatron.
Yeah, there was a lot more time.
There was a big gap. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I mean, don't give up hope that we're going to have a nice Masterpiece T-Rex.
Well, no,
just waiting to see what Primal sells like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, because they're cranking out, what, 3 or 4 Masterpieces a year now. So we never know what might happen in 2017 if this Primal does well.
Well, then the other thing is if they're able to reuse paints. Repaints.
Yeah.
So,
well, Primal, I could see. They'll do your E-Hobby, Burning Convoy. They'll do...
You name it.
Yeah.
What about Waspinator? You know, they'd have to have an exploding gimmick if they made one.
Here's the thing. I can understand for Beast Wars, you go with your two big hitters, your Primal and your Megatron. For such a niche group, I seriously doubt we're going to see Masterpiece versions of the other characters.
I agree.
It's too niche. Now, I mean, I would love to see a nice, about this big rat. I would love it, but don't think it's going to happen.
And the sad thing is that as much as, like, North America loves Beast Wars, I don't think – well, it's still – it was successful in Japan, but I don't think it was – as beloved as it was in Japan because of the way it was presented to the Japanese. Us, we love Beast Wars because of its dynamic story and the way the characters were developed and the way they were presented. And, you know, where you watch how Beast Wars was presented in Japan and you go, it wouldn't have that same impact on them. They appreciate it for the CG and the engineering of the toys, and they still really like the show. But it wasn't as gaga crazy for them. I mean, they love their G1, and there's a reason for it. You know, they love their you know, we got a masterpiece Star Saber for that reason. You know, like, they love their characters for a good reason.
Right. But, you know, and I was just thinking, not meaning to jump the gun here, but we could actually segue right into a viewer's question in regards to the number of cast members on Beast Wars compared to other shows, and if that had something to do with if we liked it. And Mike and I were talking about that, and I tend to agree. I think that because there were less characters, you could develop each character more.
Of course.
With the storyline, and I think that a lot of people that like Beast Wars not only like it because of the toys, but definitely because of the storyline.
Well, the one thing that was unique about Beast Wars is that you could almost literally link every character, and you have a pretty good idea of what everyone thinks of each other. And what I mean by that is because, you know, you might love G1, but what does Bumblebee think of Prowl? You don't know. What does Prowl think of Sideswipe? You don't know. What does Sideswipe think of Optimus Prime? I don't know. Give him a rocket pack, you know? Like, but with Beast Wars, there was such an organic character development there that you knew what Cheetor felt about Dinobot. You knew what Dinobot felt about Rhinox or Rat. Like, there's every character, you almost have a pretty clear idea because they were a people. They really were. The way that they were designed, the way that they were organically presented to us, the body language, because of the excellent work that Mainframe did putting that show together. And it's amazing considering the fact it was 1997 and the CG that was, you know, presented to them back then that they could work with. Like, it's insane. It's insane. Like, even like the dynamic between Rhinox and Air Razor, there was something there. They didn't really explore it more, but there was something there in her first episode, The Spark. You know, like, there was so much of that. And that I've always felt has been its biggest selling point. Because, like you said, that the cast was limited because of budget. They couldn't create a million characters. They would have loved to, but they couldn't. But because they couldn't do that, it forced them to make, hey, we have to fill an episode. Let's do Better Mousetrap, a whole Rat Trap episode. Right, let's do Equal Measures, a whole Cheetor episode. Instead of just, let's do another episode, introduce a new toy. Let's do another episode, introduce a new toy. Which, unfortunately, the Japanese are usually guilty of many times.
Yeah.
They very rarely have, like, especially with season one, you'll see, like, everyone kind of got pairs. Everyone kind of got two episodes to make them shine. Better Mousetrap, and what was the episode with Rat Trap where he was – I don't remember the name. Everyone always had, like, two episodes where, like, he was – Rat Trap when he was leader. Code of Heroes – not Code of – oh, my God.
No, was the Other Visits.
Not Other Visits.
Other Visits. Because it's when they first discover the alien. This
Chain
thing
of Command.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
You know, like, there was always episodes where you got the characters to be able to shine in some areas. There was the two Cheetor episodes, which was Equal Measures, and the other one, which was not Spider Game, Web of Something. Oh, this is all going off the top of my head. But it was like one of the early episodes, which made Cheetor shine and very popular with a lot of people with the early episodes of season one, and season two had so many great Dinobot moments. And anyone who's a Beast Wars Megatron fan, if David Kaye did an incredible job, easily, sure. Easily, without a doubt, my favorite Transformer villain of all time, unrivaled.
Well,
real
quick, I wanted to give the credit to who actually asked this question, and because I butchered his name last time, I'll butcher it again. James, I'm going to go with Gutierrez. He said, and this was his exact question, when creating new shows, do you think a less is more cast like Beast Wars is better, or More the Merrier, like G1, Robots in Disguise, or et cetera. Now, Daniel's given his point. I've given my point. Mike, what's your point on it?
Well, so the funny thing about this question is there's a little bit at the end that says, for a toy line. But
yeah,
when it comes to shows, I definitely like the less is more. Because we've seen it with when you talk about it, putting G1 aside, because G1 gets that love because it was the first and a lot of people grew up on it. When you have the big ones that really stand out for their storylines, which is your Beast Wars and your Animateds, it's always because they're small casts and because those characters were characters and they had a lot of interactions with each other, and you did know how each character felt about each other character, and you knew what was on their mind, and you knew them. You learned who they were. When you look at, you look at R.I.D.
Unicron Trilogy across the board.
Unicron Trilogy. These characters, like, what do you know about the Spy Changers in R.I.D.? They were a cool little team that showed up for a couple episodes, but who really cares, right?
Yeah, and you had like that one moment where it's like, Cross Arrow, going by the Japanese names, when you had Mirage and Ironhide, and they kind of tried to create a dynamic there, but that was really it. You don't know anything really about X-Car or Wars or even Art Fire, there really wasn't much there.
And so I really like that dynamic. It's why I fell in love with Beast Wars as a kid. It's why I have a strong appreciation for Animated. It's because those characters. Now, it can go wrong, and a prime example of it going wrong is what I would say with the recent R.I.D., the new one. And it has a small cast, but it's just – There's nothing there between those characters,
and the writing is hollow.
Yeah, it really doesn't sell anything. And so then, not only do you not have a lot to look at, you have the same boring characters you have to put up with every week.
Well, that's one of the reasons why it fell off.
I disagree with that,
and I'll give you a perfect example. And I'm going to flip it and say about the More is Merrier, because you were talking about it. And you also said that, especially for those that grew up with it, which I did. G1, there was something neat about seeing an episode with a new character and then going, that character's pretty badass. I can't wait to see the toy for that. And then all of a sudden you go to a toy store and there it is. It was because, what I did. That's what G1 was. All it was a toy catalog.
But you kind of just actually really pointed out, because what G1 was trying to sell toys.
Exactly. And it worked. It worked.
Yeah,
you
where
saw the characters.
Wars,
they developed it just enough that you want to buy it.
Beast Wars, while it was also trying to sell toys, it really sold us on characters, though. It really did.
Yes.
I love G1. But a lot of it is archetypes. A lot of them are not so much characters as he's this guy, he's that guy,
Well, in Beast Wars, though, if you think about it, you had slight little variations they did for things. And with R.I.D., the new one, they're trying to do the same thing, but it almost looks like the same Regurgia toy. There's not, like, a lot of differences, really, when you look at those toys. Now, like Brett was saying, you had primarily, like, duplicates of almost the same mold, just in different colors they released because of G1. Those small variations sell the toys more than just a whole regurgitated cast. Now, if you look at the way, they did the Transformers Prime, look how many times we got some of those characters, but in just different, variants, things they did to make them slightly different.
Let me ask you all this. This is something else that just occurred to me. And see what you guys think. I sat there and thought about when I went back when I watched it, and I did. What was it? You had the G1 cartoon where it constantly introduced new characters, and what was bumpered around it? Toy commercials. You had the toy commercials. This one's coming out. You got to get this, Here's Devastator. Click all six. I got to go out and try and find all six. you know, all of a sudden the other. But the storyline was kind of crap, you know, and...
It's not that it was crap. It was as good as it could be for 1984.
Wait a minute. Let me finish here. Because here's what I'm thinking. But that was good enough for us.
Yeah.
So now you come up, you know, years later, 95, 96, you have to have substance. You have to have substance to the show to keep people, keep back watching. So my question to you is, I mean, do you think they did that purposely, thinking that in order to gain the attention of the viewers, the young viewers in 95, 96, that you had to have it a little more mature than you would have been, you know, back in the 80s?
Anything that came out, like I've talked about this many times on a lot of different podcasts, not just related to Transformers, but it's just after that first Tim Burton Batman movie came out in 1989, which then created the domino effect of the animated series by Fox, changed the game for cartoons in the 90s. Because the animated Batman series told toy companies, we could write something that's intelligent and dark and sell a shit ton of toys that are just repaints of each other and with a new accessory. Like, and those Batman toys sold like crazy. And same thing. And then when Batman Returns came out, same thing. It was just an insane Kenner toy line. This was Kenner. So this is, you know, which is what Beast Wars – would start out in before Hasbro took the reins with the Transmetals. So the thing is that they saw that, and before even Beast Wars came out, Mainframe did a show called Reboot, which was another show that really wasn't trying to sell toys. It was just trying to tell a story, a very intelligent story with a lot of stuff written into it that most kids would not get at all. Like, there was so much PC lingo and stuff, and in jokes, written stuff.
Wonderful cartoon.
Yeah. So, and you would see, and even after Beast Wars, in the case would say like other stuff. It's because Mainframe, number one, saw what the industry was doing animation wise at the time, and they wanted to step up the game. You know, they wanted to step up the game. They had a great show with Reboot. They would have a great show later with Shadow Raiders, also known as War Planets. You know, it's that's something that was a Mainframe creation. If, let's say, Beast Wars was done by the guys who did G.I. Joe Extreme, which came out that same year, or if it was the guys who did Vortex, another Power Block show that was done the same year, maybe it wouldn't have been as good. You know, it really has to do with the creators and what they saw being done by other companies that were really changing, because there was a lot of great 90s written cartoons back then. Because it was a different time. X-Men came out. Spider-Marvel was really changing the game with the way stories are being told. They were being more soap opera-y, you know, previously on X-Men, you know, and you know, a continuation of a story they were trying to do to keep you know.
Well, that G.I. Joe Extreme didn't do that well, though.
Oh, it did terrible. That's just it. So that's what I'm trying to say. Imagine if Hasbro decided to put it, you know, invest in, I believe it was Deke at the time that was doing G.I. Joe Extreme. Imagine if they said, hey, Deke, we want you, you know, you did our G.I. Joe Extreme line. We want you to do our, you know, Transformers Beast Wars line too while you're at it. Maybe it would have been terrible. You know, who knows?
Well, I think the CG animation really brought, you know, the whole Beast Wars thing. Like, War Planets didn't do that well, although the toys were pretty cool, but I don't think there was enough hype for that one when Trendmasters released that line. I think it's a very underrated toy line. There's a lot of people really don't know much about it. That was really good. I actually enjoyed the cartoons because it's very cheesy, but that's just me.
But so if we're talking – for this question, if we're talking about shows, more is less is my personal opinion, because I'm usually watching a show less is more – because I'm not trying to watch a show just to preview an upcoming toy. But when you throw in the For a Toy line, I would say obviously a more the merrier approach is going to be better for a toy line in theory, because everything gets a little bit of screen time. And then kids, they've seen it on TV. They go to a toy store. They want to buy it because it was on TV. If you look at Beast Wars, I would say if you look at something like Beast Wars, the figures that probably sold the best were the characters from the show, and the ones that sold the worst were the characters that weren't in the show.
Well, Absolutely. And it's the just characters always did. They always did. Even back in G1. And, I mean, you look at G1 and the ones that were showcased the most, Prime, Megatron, you know, Bumblebee. You look at all the mini bots. Which one do you think sold off the shelves quickest? Bumblebee. Because he was in the show the most. But Bryce, what was your question or your answer to this?
I think show wise, the less is more works. I love animated, Victory, Master Force all had small casts. So
Do you think that's
Neo Kaiser's reveal was probably my favorite combiner reveal ever, because they went through each individual character within the combiner before they actually combined.
So they actually took the time to do each individual one and then do the combiner.
Yeah. For toy lines, I like a huge toy line. But
yeah, I did. I heard that you do like a huge one. I heard that. Bobby, where do you go from here? Nothing but down.
Where that huge toy line is.
Yeah. We got nowhere to go but down, I'm telling you. That's just the way it's going to go here.
Guys, the floor just dropped out.
That's what I'm going to say. On that note, James also had another question. And he had said, and this is what he said, as a child, what other toy lines did you mix in with Transformers? Now, I'm going to preface this by saying to Bricey, kids' toys, not the type of toys you're thinking of, okay? No.
Nothing shaped like Rail Racer.
Okay, nothing, no. All right.
Classics Astro Train.
All right, real quick, so he said for him, he likes...
I love my... Beast Wars 2nd Galvatron.
There you go.
Anyway, he says he liked to play with StarCon figures with his Transformers, which makes sense. I like the G.I. Joe. I like to try and integrate that as much as possible. And I actually love the fact when they had the Action Masters. I think that was probably one of the reasons I really, really liked Action Masters. Because at the time, I was really heavy into the Joes. And they scaled pretty good with a lot of imagination. So
that was one of the things.
Yeah, he said that he liked StarCom figures. And he
put the big StarCom ship. I used to put the smaller, like, MicroMasters and shit in it. That and Mask with Thunderhawk.
Real quick, getting back to our previous question, only because Jim's slow on the draw. Yeah, I heard that. Jim Black says that show toys selling better than non-show because the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's what the kids see the most, so it's what they want. Yeah. I mean, we got to stop and remember that all these toy lines, they're not really, you know, they're not 100% geared towards us. They are actually geared towards kids. And what are the kids going to buy? They're going to buy what they see on TV. So, very true, very true. So, Daniel.
Yes.
What did you mix in with your Transformers? What lines did you mix in when you were playing as a little youngin'?
I had... around, like, I got into Transformers 86, 87, so already at that point I was mixing in kind of Ninja Turtles by 87, 88. So, like, I was a late bloomer to G1.
And, am I the only one that just could not stand Turtles?
Oh, and, I didn't like them, probably. I don't know how you could be a 5-year-old to a 10-year-old during 86, 87, 88, 89, 80, you know, and not be into that.
The live-action right Turtles, man?
The only thing I thought that was really neat about the Turtles was they had this little accessory of all the different ninja stars and everything, just a big conglomerate, a huge thing of weapons. And then it wasn't until years later that I saw that on Battle Force, I think it was called Battle Core for Joe's, and I thought, oh, this is pretty neat. That was the only thing I thought that was neat about Turtles. They came with
I don't want to turn this into a turtle cast, but Turtles came with a lot of accessories right out the gate. What you saw was everything was on a running sprue that you just had to clip off all the weapons and stuff. And it had a little wood carrier or whatever, which actually was thrown out by 90% of kids because that wasn't really a weapon or anything. And I mean, that was something that I used to mix a lot with. The funny thing is, I mean, ignore what's behind me. 90% of the Transformer toys I had between ages 3 and 14 was Blaster and a handful of MicroMasters. Like, literally. That was every Transformer toy I owned up until Beast Wars. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of mixing and matching. Turtles really was a larger part. And, man, I was such a Nintendo kid.
I tell you, right now, I really wish I had that clip of the kid that said, "I love turtles."
I love turtles.
Yeah, where he goes, I love turtles. Just, I would play that constantly in the background while you were talking.
Actually, I have right here on my
You see?
I love turtles.
Yeah. I agree with Daniel. I mean, I didn't buy turtle toys, but that, you know.
So you were a closet
Ninja
turtle lover.
Ninja Turtles was a big thing for any kid.
Just remember.
It was like, if you grew up in the 90s, you liked Ninja Turtles, you liked Power Rangers. And
Michael, this is a safe place. You can come out of the closet. It's okay. You're amongst friends.
So I'm going to go ahead and give my answer. I really didn't mix anything in with my Transformers because it's the only toys I ever asked for. So when I was growing up with Beast Wars, I only ever got Beast Wars. I didn't get anything else. Yeah, I really wasn't into any other toy.
You didn't get one of those little GoBots that got like slipped in there by accident.
I got a GoBot from a fleet.
Everyone got a GoBot back in the 80s, and you had that ant that didn't know what the hell you wanted.
Remember, I was born in 88. I was 2 years old when the 80s ended.
Might have had a GoBot pacifier. Who knows? Come on.
But I had one GoBot, but I actually picked it out at a flea market. But no, it was I only was ever really into Transformers as toys. I didn't buy much other toys. I probably played with like some of my stuffed animals that like carried over with my Transformers, but I mostly played with, you know, Beast Wars, and then after that was RID, and after that was Armada. I would really have not been into anything else. I've never really collected any other toy. So I didn't really mix my
Neither have I. I only collect, you know, a couple things.
Yeah. I collect more. I buy more toys now than I used to. Like, now I have, like, video game figures and Godzilla figures, and I started buying a few anime figures here and there. It's, you know, I've expanded my palettes a bit, but back then it was all about Transformers. And if a birthday was coming up, I didn't get toys all year round. I got toys on my birthday, I got toys on my Christmas, and you can bet the whole entire list was Transformers. So that was my childhood.
Bryce, let's get you in real quick since we keep forgetting you.
Just that Starcom ship, Thunderhawk, crap ton of GoBots.
But mostly the Starcom shit, right?
Huh?
But mostly it was the Starcom shit.
No, that came in a lot with a bunch of Transformers like Soundwave.
No, I just love the fact that you didn't call it Starcom, you called it Starcom shit. So that's what you had.
Gotcha. It was only the one. I didn't have any others. Just that.
Okay.
Only that.
Plasticon?
Obviously Lego.
Oh yeah, that.
We didn't build bases with their Lego. I mean,
I was
come
too
on.
Poor for Lego.
I had Lego growing up. Hot Wheels, Mega Blocks, and Micro Machines. That's why
Micro Machines were awesome. Well, wait a minute.
Micro Machines were awesome. Daniel, did
you say that you didn't have Legos up there?
I didn't have Lego growing up. Like, the kids had Lego. I just didn't have it.
You know,
I had my friends' Legos.
Is it Lego? Wasn't that originally a French company?
No, it's Denmark, bro.
Denmark. It's always been Denmark.
Okay. Is it Denmark?
Well, all us Europeans are the same, I guess.
Yeah. And I was thinking, why the hell would you have that? I mean, national
life. No, yeah. It's like Plasticon reminded me. Like, I had a lot of Micro Machines. You know, I had a lot of other stuff of like late 80s stuff.
I had Micro Machines and Megaforce.
I had a lot of
Micro Machines. I had one of those, but I had Megaforce as well. So I had like these. Every kid, I swear, like in the 80s, would go out in their backyard if they had dirt, and they would build like the biggest base they possibly could, and all the roads and stuff have all their like Micro Machines and Megaforce and Hot Wheels and Transformers, and sometimes I'd have like a Star Wars vehicle or something like that to put out there. Just every kid in the world did that back then. And that was just fun. I don't know why kids don't do it nowadays, but come on.
Sandbox,
I didn't like to play in the dirt.
I definitely had plenty of Micro Machines. I forgot all about Micro Machines. So much fun.
Mm. I have like an entire like crate full of them, I swear. I don't know what it was. And they even had those knockoff, cheaper versions of those micro machines were actually just as good quality as the real ones.
Really some of them were die-cast, the bootlegs.
Yeah. And you could push the button on the top and they'd light up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All I could say is that was the first commercial I ever went, that's Blur. I saw him. He was actually on sitcoms, this, that, and the other, but I never knew about it until I actually listened to that commercial and I went, oh, yeah. So, right. It's a micro machine. All right. We're about ready to go into the little, my little segue, segment.
Yeah, we can go ahead. It's the only other thing.
Are you riding a Segway or a hoverboard?
I don't have a Segway, but we're not supposed to have hoverboards because they blow up.
Check your feet. Are they on fire? Now you know what you're riding.
So the only few things I had left on our list is we were going to talk about Titan Wars Soundwave. That one is a mixed bag here. I think Brycey has some words for it.
He said it before.
There was the possible Lyokaiser, Combiner Wars Lyokaiser art that we saw, and then there's also the possible Combiner Wars Computron. I guess there's a possibility those are being released as box sets.
I'll take the third party. Thank you.
The rumor for those Beast Wars, by the way, was Rat Trap, Cheetor, and Megatron. T Cracker was the one posting about it.
He's, I would like to see
a few of the other ones too. So.
Cheetor would be nice. I'm going to say it, and I've said this 100 times, and anyone who's listened for this in a long time just want a Pterosaur.
I agree. It's one of those characters that really needs. There's certain designs that really need to be revisited.
That one was just pull the tail and flip, doesn't it?
Yeah, but in terms of show accuracy. The silhouette, if you will.
I'm extremely happy with my Generations Rat Trap. It's a very nice figure. I want to see some. If I had to choose Beast Wars characters that didn't have good figures that represent them in the show, it's Pterosaur and Black Arachnia.
Scorponok,
his toy is.
Head remold away.
No, it's something to do with the tail. I'm sorry. Damn thing keeps wanting to fall backwards. If he did something else with the tail, I think it'd be perfect.
You got a defective...
Not everyone I've ever had. It's just, that back end is just, it's just too much. So,
too much tail.
Be able to fold it. Too much tail.
James doesn't want too much tail in his life.
I hate to tell you this, but usually I like a lot of tail. But this time I'm saying too much tail.
Got some lead weights up in his head. Come on.
Got to scale that tail back a little bit.
All right. So I think we'll just skip over those for now. We might see more of them at Toy Fair. I mean, it's that time of the year. Toy Fair is coming up in, what, 2 or 3 weeks, something like that? It's something very soon. So we'll have to wait and see what we get then. So we're going to go jump right into the topic on some knockoffs, and Brett's going to lead us in this discussion.
Awesome. So here's what I wanted to talk about. Everyone knows that I like all the vintage knockoffs, and you know, you get this guy here, nice G1 double header, and then a nice knockoff, goofy as heck.
I want that.
I mean, and if you look, it's almost scaled 1-to-1. He's a little shorter, but no big deal. So you got goofy stuff like that, okay? I did this before. Here's a nice little Grimlock. And then they came out with a nice, you know.
That
guy's awesome. With his little horn.
But where's the Godzilla one?
Oh, it's buried. But then
I so want that Godzilla one.
Then you get that I really like. Onslaught here, who is really big. Really big.
Oversized Onslaught.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, this is my favorite. actions and stuff. Now I lay down there.
Now it's an episode of Jurassic Park, Lost World.
But, you know, I've told people in these vintage, you know, just oddities are just neat and all this, that, and the other, and I don't think anyone really has a problem with them. They have their own little thing. They're not trying to be something that they're not. They're just, they're their own thing. But then we start getting into stuff like this, okay? This was just talked about. It's the, I guess it's a company making their version of MP10. But as you can see, it's much, much bigger and cheaper. So I'll just start off with this and ask you, what did you guys think about something like this? Where we're getting, now we're getting new companies making exact duplicates of Hasbro Takara. But in this case, this one's just going to be bigger. What are your guys' thoughts on this?
Isn't that just about how iGear got started?
Well, we're going to get to that because I thought about that too.
I mean, to be honest, I guess it's okay. I mean, myself, I kept my MP01 because it's like the size of it, main, you know, compared that to MP10. But just a straight up like copy and exploded thing. I mean, we've all seen these in dollar stores.
Well, I mean, and they also did it with Grimlock too, with the, what is that, MP8X. They did the same thing, only it's oversized.
Well, they also did an oversized version of that that movie Grimlock that came out. It was like the deluxe size, but they blew it up like three times bigger. It's almost like the it's like almost half the size of Metroplex, the new generation's one. It's humongous. So, I mean, I guess.
Bryce, what do you think about these things? Exploded?
I don't really like them, to be honest. Just because a lot of people try to pass them off as real ones or say they're better than the real ones or whatever they want.
Like this one in particular, you know what I keep going back to is Fate. When they made the exact, you know, one-to-one scale, and the quality just wasn't there. So that's what I'm thinking about this. I mean, it's bigger. I wonder if it's going to be as good. Is the quality going to be there? Are you really just wasting your money? Something like this, while I do like the oversized knockoffs like this stuff and everything, this particular one does not have a place in my collection for myself. And even though I looked at the Grimlock and I thought, man, that scale is a lot better with MP10 than the one that we have. I mean, I in my opinion, Grimlock needs to be a good head and shoulder above Prime, and he's not. So, yeah, it would work, but I still don't see myself buying one of those. So that's just my thought. But then this is where it started getting interesting. So these companies are not only knocking off official products, but how about third-party items? They came out with an oversized Fuel Rex from Masterminds Creations. What are your thoughts about this? Can you really knock off a non-licensed product?
There's no honor among thieves.
That's true. I mean, and it, the thing is, a lot of folks that actually owns Feral Rex, they know he's already pretty hefty as it is. And some people know that sometimes it tries to kind of lean forward. And that one there could possibly just completely fall off the shelf because it's too heavy and crumple under its own weight. So, I mean, there's certain reasons why engineering is like, well, I mean, it also depends on the tightness of the joints. I mean,
well, here's a couple things. And Bryce and I were sitting here talking about this, and he was talking about this section right here in the crotch section and how every picture he ever saw, they were spread like this. And it's probably because they cut the costs on some of the joints. So this is non-movable. And then if you look up here at the fist, I'd be willing to bet that those fingers are not individually articulated.
Well, look at the one that's holding the sword. They're not separate at all.
Right.
It literally looks like it's the same thing. So like you said, cutting cost as well.
Right.
So.
But here's the thing, and here's the kicker, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and show it. I'll go ahead and show you. By the way, this is not my auction. I literally pulled this up because of what it was. So I have no loyalty to this auction. If you want to buy these, knock yourself out. And to the guy that's selling these, for everyone that you sell, I expect a commission now. $100 versus $500. That's a considerable difference. Well, with $40, so $140. That's a considerable difference. This might be a poor man's version. You know, this might be their way of getting the big predicting that they wanted without paying $500.
Well, I mean, if there wasn't something, I guess maybe scales with the Generations Devastator. I guess maybe that's what they're trying to go for here. But I mean, if you're like you're saying quality wise, I mean, the plastic could be thinner. It could crumble when you try transforming it or trying to move a joint when it's.
I'd be willing to bet that they cut costs everywhere on this thing. But still, $140 compared to $500, that's. I mean, we're not talking a few bucks.
Yeah, but $140 is a big – that's a big pill to swallow for something that isn't official. You're right.
Neither is Feral Rex. It's not official. It's $500.
Well, I mean, it's not official, but, I mean, at least it's a unique design that's by a certain company that kind of has credit versus
– IKEA had a unique design, too. They got sued for it.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing I'm trying to get across is $140. That's a lot to swallow for something that you have no idea what the quality is.
You don't know what you're getting into for $140.
Right. I mean, there's people out there like Brycey's actually handled it, one of the KO versions of the Scorponok, and told you this stuff is inferior. There's parts that weren't molded right. Things were not good on it at all compared to actually trying to get an original one.
But isn't but that
if
always?
If you listen online, everybody says, "Oh, it's just as good or it's better."
Right.
They're always trying to justify their own purchases, so they're
well,
not about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Or
they're going to buy it off for the money. Probably don't have the original, so.
Well, but or you could say, "Yeah, it's good quality for the money." When you're comparing the prices.
Like, yes, well. An original Scorpion for almost the same price as a knockoff. Well,
that's the thing. And I mean, $140, that's a lot to risk on something you don't know how thick the plastic is. I mean, if you're going to go all in on third-party stuff, I mean, we've all seen the Superion that was knocked off, and people's done reviews of it, and there are parts that are inferior on that thing that flop around everywhere. That's not even the third-party, but just the KO version. So they are skimming out on these things, and they're just trying to do what they can with flipping the money. Like, you think about it, all the KO versions of the Masterpiece, every one of those that came out, well, now they're trying to blow them up, like you were just saying. Well, it's because they're done making their money on the ones that are – that's the, like, original scale. Okay, so let's make them bigger. People will buy them just because they're bigger. Doesn't necessarily mean there's good value in there. You got to look at the – quality of the item and how much money you're spending on it. I mean, if you're only spending $20 on a Masterpiece Prime that's supposed to be in, you know, the MP10, if you pay $20 for this thing and it's this tall, okay, we paid $20 for it and that's $20. But
Jim,
you pay $300 for this fucking thing that's that
Jim
tall.
Black is asking,
you better have some good
about,
quality.
When you're talking about the Superion knockoff, are you talking about the Combiner Wars version or the Uranus version?
The Uranus.
Okay.
So that thing has problems. I have seen several reviews of it. It's a complete piece of junk. It's not even really – I mean, you might as well buy the official one, from the third-party company. Right.
I'll go on record also saying that a lot of these quote-unquote official, unofficial third-party, they threw out some lemons too.
I mean, that's what I was going to jump in with. I mean, we're talking about how you would have to spend $140 on this on a gamble, but that's every startup third company product you ever buy, right? And usually, almost every third party company, their first figure is usually some sort of turd. And someone had to buy it and say, well, I can see that they were trying to do with this, but it's kind of garbage. And then eventually they get to the point of making something good. It's almost the same thing. The only thing here is that they're mimicking something that you already have an idea of instead of making their own unique design. But it's always a gamble that you're always taking with a third-party company or a company making knockoffs. You never know what you're going to get.
And you're absolutely right about that. I had three different versions of two different versions of the Fall Cybertron Bruticus, and two of them were KO versions. And one of them, they skimmed out on so much engineering, that thing was a floppy-ass mess. And then the plastic was really thin. I was afraid if it fell on the floor, it would just explode. And the other one I had was actually pretty comparable with the plastic quality was there, and it transformed just fine, just like the original Hasbro and Takara release. But the point I'm trying to get across is when you're buying these things, you got to think about the type of plastic are they using. Are they using something that's like a soap model? Or are they using it like, really, really hard, rigid plastic that if it falls, it will snap like that, and then you won't be able to fix it. So, I mean, that's the stuff you have to look at. When I saw the pictures of that, I kind of see that as like that really thin, robust, hard plastic that if it fell, it'd probably snap.
Possible.
That's just looking at the way the fists are all molded together like that, I guarantee you probably on the underside of it's all hollow, and it probably doesn't hold together worth a damn. It probably just doesn't. Well, but, I mean, $140, that's a lot of remolding and blowing up of this thing to try to...
It is, but if someone really wanted it...
I'm not saying don't buy it. I'm just saying...
Just to interject for a second, the thing is also is there's kind of... There's that level of between third party and bootleg. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, third party, usually most of these guys in these factories, they have a goal to put a product together that'll hold together. Where, and I know Plasticon especially because he collects the bootleg stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of that shit will fall apart. Like, when those things are made by those companies, and if you even want to call them companies, the seedy underbelly from China that makes that stuff, they have no intention for that stuff to hold together. It is literally the most low cost. I mean, it's like they take plastic pellets and just fuse them together, and it's the most brittle plastic on the planet. The term you were saying, like a soap bottle, it's sofubi in Japanese is the term, which is like it's a plastic that's almost vinyl that'll shatter from a fall, from like a high fall or something. And I mean, to me, I look at that Predaking, and it feels like it's a guy who has one of those bootlegs. Let's not even use the term knockoff. Like one of these bootleg toys that are made of a crap plastic, and he's just asking a butt ton of money because it's a big bootleg. I've had I have a bootleg Primus that's like it's on a card back that's like the size of my couch. I don't even know how to like describe it. It's huge, this Primus card back, and it's a piece of crap. Like it's this huge toy. And it's a piece of crap, though, when you open it. It's like the most fragile bootleg of the Cybertron Primus toy. But this thing, when I see it on eBay, like people are asking like $80 for it because it's a big, fancy-looking bootleg. But is it a good toy? No. So like Plasticon saying, $140 for something that I think, the molded fists together, probably a shitty bootleg. That's not going to fly.
True.
That's what I'm saying. It's a big bill to swallow. I mean, if he was asking like $60 for it, okay, maybe. But to be honest, I mean, yeah, okay, you have five robots to turn. You have to completely look at the whole idea of the quality of that.
Is there any more photos outside of that one combined mode?
Yeah, there's a bunch on Facebook there is. And stuff and people having it.
Because that might reveal a little more then.
I mean, if anybody out there, and you put this down in the – the comments and such, link us a video review of it if somebody's done one. I mean, because a lot of us out there watch Ben's Collectibles. He tends to get a hold of a lot of stuff before anybody over there, and he gets a bunch of stuff off of Sirtoys, and Sirtoys is notorious for every KO you can think of, and even their non-official stuff they have made for their own company. But there's a lot of stuff that they have on there that – it's pretty cool, but there's some on there that's like, yeah, you stay the hell away from that because it's not worth the money for the shipping.
This Anyone notice anything about these pictures?
Yeah, well, now it looks like the official product all of a sudden.
This is the knockoff, or whatever, bootleg. That's the official.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what the hell's going on?
Who lives in there? To show you how it can pose and all this stuff.
And all he does is he just puts his watermark on it so it makes it all think it's the same product.
Yeah.
Someone's got to buy it. Someone's going to have to buy it, and then we'll find out.
Well, I was hoping to show you the individual robots, but these are all official.
No. The black lines inside of Bovis' legs there, that's the tape.
Right here?
Yeah. Those black lines on the thighs, or on the shins,
they
shouldn't be there on the original.
Oh, so you think this is the actual knockoff?
Yeah.
Or bootleg, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Let's look at it. That looks really good.
Let me tell you something, though. Keep in mind, a picture doesn't mean anything because, I mean, as someone who owns, like, Wonderfest model kits of Transformer stuff that looks great in photos, but when you touch it, it falls to pieces.
Look right here. The legs are hollow. The feet are hollow, see?
Yeah.
Here, I got the... Hold on.
There's nothing of the fist, though.
I got a picture of the fist here, if I can...
They're hidden inside here.
Right here.
Yeah.
There it is.
See exactly what I was saying.
Looks pretty bad inside.
I mean, I guess it's okay if you don't – I mean, if a lot of you guys out there don't have the money to dump on getting the official one, I mean, but you're risking a lot of money. But, I mean, to me, it looks like if that's a ball joint and if this is that kind of quality plastic that I've handled, that ball joint will probably snap if it has any kind of major friction on it. The same thing with the little pins trying to hold the fists on.
I would go back and say, even though it's not cheap, you're still, you know, you're paying what you're getting. You're getting what you pay for. If you're looking at an item that normally is $500 and you're getting it for $100, you're getting a fifth of the quality. How's that? So.
Each individual finger is articulated on those, on the real one.
Yeah, on the real ones, I mean, you can... Yep. On every finger, that one is like claw hand going on, and
he could dig a mean trench though.
The claw man, I like that.
He could do this or this. That's about all he could do. And hope to God the thumb doesn't break off.
True.
I don't know. I just don't see how that thing would even support the sword. Because I mean, if you look at the picture that
the sword looks cheap on too. Yeah, but the sword looks cheap too. So it's probably a real lightweight plastic.
And if it's anything, Brett, have you handled that swirly kind of like cheap knockoff plastic that literally snaps like that when you put anything?
Well,
in
I mean,
report or something that just snaps it.
Well, I've had a couple different ones like. And it's kind of weird when you talk about knockoffs like this one, which is the backpack of this guy right here. And to give you an idea, it's actually rubber.
Mm-hmm.
So they went with it, and you can actually almost see through it. See how clear the plastic is? You can see my finger behind it.
It's all the mold flash. They didn't even bother with it.
Yeah. No, that's literally what's supposed to be solid. We get it. Is so thin, it's almost transparent. See, look.
It's like when they pressed it, I guess. You know, it thinned out the original.
Well, you got the original that's like this, and then you have this is. it's cheap, but yeah. I mean, this is different. This is 100% not supposed to represent. This.
I agree. To me, like the bootlegs and stuff like that I collect are always stuff that are charming, that are interesting. They have character to them. I've never been someone who wants a bootleg that is trying to be a 100% representation of the original product.
Correct.
Except when it's something that is a toy that is so expensive or rare that it needs to then probably – like, I own an original Minerva, but I would totally understand if a third-party bootleg of it was out there to be –
I give you a better example, and Bryce knows about what I'm going to say. Battle Gaia and Guard City.
Or even the reissue of those
Well, the knockoff ones are 100 times cheaper and easier to get. So why not?
Well, yeah, again, the Headmaster heads with Liozer and Loafer and all of them. Like, I mean, those guys loose at some BotCons, you're talking $500 a pop, if depending who you talk to. So it's one of those things that – that was what was the box? It was like $100 for like everybody, and a Black Zarek that doesn't crumble to pieces, you know?
Right, exactly.
So for a lot of people, that was a really good alternative, a really, really good alternative. Let's say each one of those were the real figure, you're talking $8,000, you know, that box would be?
Right, maybe? But you're also looking at the quality, Dan. I mean,
the quality was amazing.
It was great. They were awesome. They were worth the money.
If you remember when they first came out, they didn't have stampings. And then they made them with the stampings.
Oh, did they afterwards?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Huh.
They went the full yard. Jeez, now it's pointless to try to buy one loose now. Oh, man.
Yeah, you gotta really know what you're looking for.
Oh, jeez, I didn't know that they put the stamps now.
Well, Dan, remember the G3 Inferno that I got? That one that was – and that thing's great quality. And it's charming because it's different colored compared to anything that
are released. Those are the kind of bootlegs I like. Like it when –
those are cool.
When you have like – I'm trying to think of like – because I have like so much weird stuff in my closet over there of bootlegs that don't have a proper display. But it's just like I have bootlegs of like it's – Thunderwing, a G1 Pretender, and it was shrunk down and done in like different color waves. You know, like I have like so much weird stuff like that. That I like. That's interesting.
You did a review of those too.
Yeah, I did a review of that one.
Like this one, the Power Master Prime.
Yeah, there you go. The Power Master Prime with the gold chest and stuff.
And gold chest and weird stuff.
That I dig. I like that kind of stuff.
Exactly. But that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about third party, or whatever, I'm not on board
for, you know what, the problem is even good third party stuff, like, and I respect engineering and I respect their ability to make good product, but even then I'm usually not on game for all of it. So when you're talking like bootlegs of bootlegs, meh.
I agree with you.
Too far away.
Even I can't think of one third party company that's made, you know, hit it out of the park every time. Every company's had a dud, okay? So now you're talking about making an inferior product from a company that has made inferior products. So, I mean, it's kind of like making a Xerox of a Xerox. I mean, eventually it's not gonna be as crisp, it's not gonna be as clean. So,
yeah. Well, then you just need to hope someone buys it first and does a terrible review.
You know, it's funny. I used to be the guy that would go, and as soon as the new combiner would come out, I'd be pre-ordering first ones, see how many I get. And now, what's the problem with that? Not only it could be you don't like it; it's a piece of crap; it doesn't work well. But you also, if you wait, this company's making one. This one might make one that looks even better. And then, if you've already got this one, you've already invested your money.
And not to mention, dare I say, instead of spending that $140 on this one here that's all on based on a chance, let's see what maybe Takara and Hasbro might do in a year from now.
Look at Devastator. We were shocked.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes back to that, you know, the whole pseudo-possibly Lyokaiser. I mean, think about it, a lot of guys can't afford the original. And some – I know the third-party one looks phenomenal. Some people aren't going to be able to afford that. So at least it will allow these guys to actually get hold of something that's very rare, that's been a hole in their collection for years, and they're like, I can finally get this thing. Especially if they release it as a box set. I mean, if they do that, I really hope they like slap a bunch of awesome Japanese stuff all over it and make it look really cool for the guys that can never get a hold of one of these. I mean, it's rare. Everybody knows the best.
Yeah, it's definitely like in the top 10 for sure.
I agree.
So, I mean, honestly, I would like to see – I honestly have been wanting to see Hasbro do something with some beast formers that do the same thing that these combining vehicles do. I would like to see a Predaking done that way, you know?
Well, if they did a Predaking, it would definitely open up more to then seeing more beast characters in general from repaints, because all of those Predaking designs – if you're really clever, you could get a Rhinox out of it, a Cheetor out of it, a Prowl 2, if you want to call it. You know, you can get a lot out of that. The beautiful thing is it shows now that Hasbro is willing to not just do straight up repaints. They're willing to retool extensively. They're willing, you know, at first it used to be, oh, hey, we'll put a new head on it. Now they're willing to like go, you know, the whole yard. Look at Chromia. It's a Prime RC. You know, like they're willing to really re-engineer something that, I mean, to a lot of people didn't even realize that generation's Chromia was the Prime RC. They thought that was just a brand new mold trying to be the original G1 character. So it shows that who knows what could come of it. And a Predaking official release could really be a boon for beast stuff afterwards.
No, I really need to see that, and maybe hopefully a Monstructor or Dino King. I mean, I could probably see a Monstructor more stateside than Dino King, but Dino King would end up getting their Takara repaints. I mean,
we'll see with that. Right now,
we got the third party one that's out right now.
Right now, the third party one's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah,
again, I'm not a big third party guy, but a spade's a spade, you know, and they're doing a very good job.
It's a phenomenal toy, but you have to look at price point and a lot of
people can't
afford that. That's the thing.
Especially the shells.
The shells are just gorgeous.
They're gorgeous, but they're expensive. Yep.
Yeah.
Gorgeous comes with a price. That's like the guy that can own, you know, a Mustang, but they want a Ferrari. You see what I mean? There is a big difference. They're both sports cars. They're both very fast. They both are appealing.
Just one pony only walks on two legs.
Right. Exactly. But that's just how it works. I mean, that's the way, honestly, I can see, like with the Lyle Kaiser, I would like to see him re-engineer into that stuff, because I want to see a Monstructor. I want to see a Dino King come out that's official. A lot of these guys, like, you know, they're going back and they're watching all these cartoons and stuff like that. The kids are coming up, they're seeing these older cartoons. They're like, well, where's the toy of that Dino Combiner thing? There is one, but it's so rare to get hold of. And most people's never seen one, you know? So, I mean, that's just how it works. Hopefully Hasbro does something in Takara.
With all due time.
Yeah, I can see it.
With all due time, I think that the plate is so full right now for probably this year and next year that with all due time.
I'm just glad that they were able to build up a, like a combiner port that actually works, that doesn't break. You know, I'm glad they actually figured out how to make that engineering work a lot better.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems that aside from the box sets we're getting and the possible, you know, remolds that may or may not become Lyle Kaiser and Computron, that the Combiner Wars stuff is mostly, you know, out of focus now. We're going into Headmasters, we're going into Titans.
I wouldn't count it out too much in the sense that I could still see, like, the way that exclusives are being handled, and I could still see, like, down the line us getting a repaint of something in another box set. Not a brand new mold, though, unfortunately. So, like, as it stands right now, yeah, we're probably not going to see, Road Caesar and Predaking and stuff like that. There's nothing in the cards yet. Although, hey, I could be totally wrong. We're going to go to BotCon or SDCC, and they'll totally reveal something. but, yeah, right now we've entered the age of Headmasters. We've entered the age of the gimmicks. Let's just hope it doesn't go the same direction Transformers did in 87. So,
I'm just curious.
2017, I'm calling it. It's the year of the Action Master.
Are you kidding? It's just when it started getting great.
Oh. Oh, no, I had nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying in terms of sales.
Oh, hey, think about it. You've got Transformers, you've got G.I. Joe, you got the G.I. Joe brands kind of on the trailing down. Combine the two of them, make them sort of compatible. You get your Action Masters, you get a little boost from your Joe sales, everyone's happy.
Nah, they're too busy mixing it with Rom the Space Knight right now, so.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, so. It's going to be an interesting future.
Swing and a miss.
Maybe. Maybe.
Tell me again why I think that, you know, you get all this good stuff with the Masterpiece Primal, and then you give it to Takara, and it's kind of, yeah, they can still drop the ball.
You know, maybe they'll just make him in rainbow colors or something. Everybody will be like, oh, I don't want that. It's ugly. I'll be the guy that buys it.
Yeah, we know you like your rainbow colors.
I'm not 1%.
True.
All right. So I think we've had a pretty good discussion tonight. It's great to be back 2016. Can't wait to see what's happening. But we're going to go ahead and call it a night. Been another episode of Transformers for your listening pleasure, episode 184. I'm gonna let these guys say goodbye and then we're going black.
We're not going plaid, what?
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.